the real presenter, Simon Mayo. Many years ago, Simon's show on Radio 1 included a slot called God for a Day. God for a Day. And this was a light-hearted interview with a celebrity who is invited to imagine being God for a day. If you were God for a day, if you had unlimited powers, if you could do anything that you wanted to do, what would you do? One of the questions asked was, you have a thunderbolt. Who would you like to zap with your thunderbolt? Think about that. If you had a thunderbolt, who would you like to zap with your thunderbolt? And some of the celebrities answered in an amusing way, while others more serious. But consider for a moment, if you were God for a day, if you had God's powers for a day, what would you do? Get rid of poverty, hunger, and disease, perhaps. End the war in Ukraine. Make everyone more kind. Or reward yourself with all the riches that life can afford. Perhaps this little game can help us to understand what was going on for Jesus in his time of temptation and testing. Jesus has just been baptized by John in the Jordan River, and there he heard the voice of God, "This is my son, my beloved." And now Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and in the wilderness he hears a very different voice. If you are the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, then what? It's like asking the question, if you were God for a day. Jesus needs to decide. With divine power at his command, what will Jesus do? At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus has basic choices to make. And it's presented by Matthew as a dialogue between Jesus and the devil. Matthew describes three tests or temptations. And each raises a question about the future shape of Jesus' ministry. Temptation number one, if you are the Son of God, turn stones into bread. Use your gifts to satisfy your own hunger. Do what you must to survive. But Jesus knows that true nourishment is more than physical satisfaction. It comes from being grounded in something deeper. Temptation number two. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down and make it dramatic, spectacular. Force a public outcome. Prove that heaven is on your side. But Jesus chooses trust without spectacle. Faith that doesn't need constant proof. Temptation number three, bow down and all the kingdoms will be yours. In the devil's world, might is right. But Jesus rejects the lie that domination and control are the ways to bring about God's reign. He will not hand his loyalty to something that is not of God. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. After this final rebuff, we are told the devil departed from Jesus. Jesus had won an initial victory, but these same temptations would surely recur throughout his ministry. The insistent demands upon his compassion, the enthusiasm that would make him a national hero, the suspicion that required a sign from heaven, all this was to end on Golgotha with the mocking cry, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So we shouldn't imagine that after this time in the wilderness, Jesus no longer faced temptation. Every day, Jesus must have been confronted with difficult choices, which tested his faithfulness to the mission God had entrusted to him. And I think it's at this point that the story is of greatest significance to us and to our own lives. For we too are called by God to do his work. And like Jesus, we too have to face fundamental questions about the way in which we will go about our mission, about our work as individual Christians and as a church. And we know there have been many times in the past when the Christian church has been tested and has failed. Times when the church has relied too heavily on the power brought by wealth, or when it has allied itself with political forces, or when it has relied on miracles and gifts, all in the cause of spreading the gospel. In our efforts to proclaim the gospel, to win people for Christ, we must be very, very careful that we do not succumb to the temptation of adopting gimmicks, shortcuts, and quick fixes, which might seem to produce results, but which are in fact unworthy of our calling as Christians. In other words, of fooling ourselves that godly ends will justify ungodly means. We have not been given the power to be God for a day. Thank goodness. But God has given us so much: lives and brains and hands, spiritual gifts, material resources. Being God, he gives us the freedom to use them as well. Like Jesus before us, we are entrusted with a great responsibility. But as we've seen, discerning God's way and his will for us is not always a straightforward matter.